Like, I don't know what to do. And that's what sent me on this global journey to heal what I now call my busy brain and burnout. And you read about the teachers or the process that came along in the research, and then the protocol and the 8 weeks of like what it takes to heal that. But the biggest lesson is advocate for your brain and your body. Advocate.
Welcome to the Bombshell Business Podcast, where driven women in business learn how to become more bold, brave, and unwaveringly confident. Feel empowered and challenged through inspiring stories and tell it like it is advice for business, life, and leadership.
Welcome or welcome back to the Bombshell Business Podcast. I'm your host, Amber Erickson Hurdle. And I know I say I'm excited every single week, but y'all, we know that life is more complicated than ever, and people are divided over frivolous things. Work has endless opportunities and expectations, and the days get shorter and shorter, and our to-do lists get longer and longer. And I can go on and on and on about all of the expectations that are put on a bombshell, a bold, brave, unwaveringly confident woman, because why? We get things done. So that's why today I'm very excited to introduce you to Dr. Romy Mushtaq. She's a board-certified physician who brings together more than two decades of leadership in neurology, integrative medicine, and mindfulness. She is an award-winning speaker working with Fortune 500 companies, professional athletes, and global associations. Her brain shift programs improve mental well-being and help to build a culture of wellness. Dr. Romy serves as Chief Wellness Officer for Great Wolf Resorts, where she scaled a mindfulness and wellness program to over 7,000 employees. So you better believe Amber is getting into that today. Her expertise is featured in the national media, such as NPR, NBC, TED Talks, and Forbes. Her first book, The Busy Brain Cure, published by HarperCollins, released this January in 2024. If you're listening live, if you're listening into the future, it was in January 2024, and she is actually somebody that I've known from afar and so excited to meet today. Welcome to the show, Dr. Romy.
Amber, like, so crushing on being here in the Bombshell community and the Bombshell men that you were telling me support us. So I don't take anybody's time for granted. So I told you in our pre-interview time, dig right in. We don't need to go to the fluff. We are a bold sisterhood supported by bold men. Like, let's get started on what's needed.
Listen, that's what my listeners love. Like, hey, we don't do a lot of chitty chat at the beginning. We just dive in because we don't have a lot of time for that. So let's dive in. Let's just start with, where are we in the work environment? Let's just go straight to corporate wellness. Yes, I know many of you listening are also small business owners or in mid-market businesses. So when I say corporate, I'm just going to say businesses that have enough employees to want a wellness program. Why is that such a need now versus when you and I were just getting started in our careers?
That was such a diplomatic way of saying you're such an auntie, Romy, which I refer to in my book often, when I get a busy brain, the judgmental voice of my aunties, except for now as a chief wellness officer, I'm known as Dr. Auntie Romy. But that was so diplomatic of you, like, hence your PR degree. So thank you.
I'm a grandmother now, so I will just put myself in that category as well. Ooh. That's what happens when you get knocked up at 16 and then your 27-year-old daughter has a baby at a legitimate age.
I mean, but still, sister, like, you look good. Like, if y'all aren't watching the video right now of Amber, like, y'all need to tune into her Insta or YouTube and check this sister out. Like, whatever you were practicing and preaching, like, from a doctor, I say looks younger than stated age. So
I love that. Thank you.
That is the medical compliment term, but let's talk about wellness. And thank you. I want to break it down. Is even if you have one subcontracted employee on your team, you need to have a culture of wellness. This isn't us talking in 2024 about the future. This is now.
Yeah.
It is actually a critical component of culture. And if I, as a leader, the brain shift mantra is this, is I, as the leader, take care of my brain, my body, and my team. Then you handle operations. And most of us, whether you're a solo entrepreneur or a team of less than 10, all the way to the organizations that I serve that have tens and thousands of employees, is your employee productivity, your business bottom line, and engagement and to live in your world is all tied in directly to your direct supervisor's well-being, emotional well-being, their brain health, mental well-being, cognition, physical well-being, and really the well-being of how you bring a team together, you know, that psychological safety in a team.
Absolutely.
And we no longer can live in a world where your wellness program or any help you may need with your brain or your body is something you do off hours time away from company time. And the reason being is I've been looking at this data for a decade, and you and I will break down where it all started, but for over a decade is in the United States and really in most of the Western world now with globalization, our jobs are making us sick. Mm-hmm. The number one thing contributing to physical illness, mental health issues, stress and burnout is our jobs. And so we have to address it in the workplace. We can't continue as entrepreneurs or leaders in a large corporate environment and all the mid-level, you know, companies in between, say that is a separate entity. Your well-being, your personal life away from work, they're directly intertwined. And so I'll start with that place and dig in deeper anywhere else you want to go.
Well, I do wonder because I my younger years, and I say that, and I'm 44 for anybody who's, you know, keeping tabs, 16, and then my daughter will be 28 this year. The conversation was more about we need to reduce our insurance costs, so let's do Wellness Wednesday. But now you have Gen Z coming in saying, oh, you don't have a wellness program? I am not working there. So it truly is a matter of recruiting and retaining the top talent, because the top talent has understood that they have to optimize their health in order to optimize their potential. And it's less about what the company can do for me and more about, no, I am keeping sacred this vessel of mine so I can do all the things. So how does a company even start to wrap their mind around what the need is, and then how do they address it?
You just said a lot of things together there that I could unpack. And so I'm going to start in one of my keynote lectures on building and leading a culture of wellness is you have to start by defining a culture of wellness. And the models that look at a healthy workplace culture, and I often share the Stanford University model when they're training chief wellness officers, is there's three elements of it. Is well-being, and we're going to break down well-being, a culture of belonging, and operational excellence. All three of those are really important. And so I'm going to use hospitals as an example because I'm a doctor, and you'll read in the first segment of my book of how I burned out and ended up in life-saving surgery that led me on this journey. And we didn't have terms back in 2010 of mental health crisis in the workplace or burnout. And it you know, put me here in 2024 where I am now trying to prevent this in the workplace. But hospitals are a great example. Most healthcare systems lack operational excellence.
Where?
Doctors, nurses, other healthcare providers are burdened with electronic health records. So you have more patients than you can handle on a single shift. And then on top of it, you have to deal. That's an operational problem, right? Then there's belonging, all the things of engagement, culture, psychological safety that you've discussed with so many other experts. And then the last piece is the well-being piece. And, you know, I equate whatever was being done in a pre-pandemic time to like Mommy Mushtaq and her love of flip phones. Okay. I'm turning 50 this year. You and I are both old enough to remember how sleek we thought our flip phones were in the late 1990s, early 2000s. Oh, yeah. Remember that?
Yeah.
My mama, like, God bless her, till like 5-6 years ago would not let go of her flip phone. And they were so hard to find that it was put together by a piece of duct tape.
Oh, wow.
The gray duct tape matches the silver phone. It is color coordinated. And it finally stopped working. And she realized she wasn't getting pictures from our global family members. And, you know, we went into the Verizon store, and God bless that sales agent. He looked at me in the corner, waving my credit card, my iPhone, like, just fix this. I don't got the time to help mama. And my mama's like, no, don't listen to her. I see her from the back of my head trying to make me buy iPhone. And he sat with her and understood her unique needs, wanting to talk to family members all over the globe. And the cell phone bills were ridiculous. And he just shows her that one thing on the iPhone of an app called WhatsApp, and how she could connect internationally for free with everybody and see pictures and have family group chats, and people could contribute to the conversation no matter what time zone they were on. And then he said the magical words, it's for free on your plan, But the flip phone to replace this is going to take several weeks to find one in the country and is going to be about $580. And that is a great analogy of the workplace wellness programs. And Ember, it's not just Gen Z, it's every generation.
Sure.
Most employers with their EAP program and health insurance are offering a flip phone.
Yeah.
That is hanging together by that nasty piece of gray duct tape that you know was holding all that bacteria and everything, right? That was the day of health fairs where we would check cholesterol levels. It's the recruitment tool when people are like, oh, we have an EAP problem. Look, people know from TikTok and X, now what was formerly Twitter, that most EAPs are very challenging depending where you are in the country. And to find a therapist in a timely manner that takes your insurance is really difficult.
Yes.
That's the broken cell phone. Just to say, here's your insurance plan, here's our EAP. And girl, I mean, let's be real. Kind of like, ain't nobody listening to this wants a flip phone again. Well, okay, there's the modern day flip phones. I got that. Like, but I'm talking mama's grave rising.
Not the Razor comeback model. Like the
Yeah,
old
not
one.
The Razor comeback. The vintage, as the young kids would say, right? Yeah. The vintage version of that. I mean, that is basically that pre-pandemic health and wellness nonsense of saying, Amber, you're stressed. I just need you to breathe, eat berries, and everything is going to be okay.
Drink a smoothie.
And a smoothie. And nobody wants that individually or in the workplace. And that's why I started to do this intersection of research in the workplace with individuals and wrote the Busy Brain Cure. So it's a solution for individuals and for companies from a chief wellness officer's point of view. And yeah, so that's it. So to wrap up everything I just said in a few sentences, the way most companies are approaching wellness, and it's improving, there are more chief wellness officers out there, is really equated to a Verizon flip phone with the old gray, ugly duct tape. They may change it or try to make it shiny and new and sell it as a new version, but it really isn't. And people want the latest technology for whatever their personal needs are. Like my mama loves her WhatsApp. She doesn't care about her social media apps. You and I don't know about you. My social media apps don't matter as much as my work email on my phone.
Right.
We all have different needs. And that's exactly what a workplace wellness program should offer.
Right. So how do you go from, okay, I accept this, and in fact, I even desire to offer this because now that I'm empowered with knowledge, I want to do my part. I know a lot of my customers are good-hearted people. They want to do the right thing, but they're just not empowered with the knowledge. So what's the first step in rolling out more than here is your insurance and here is your EAP? And look the other way while we tell you that you have unlimited EAP and addiction services, because what does that tell you about the company to begin with when you're leading with that?
Well, like most people don't even have unlimited EAP. It's 3 to 5 sessions per issue. And one of the first things I do when I go in to consult with companies is I have HR do a frontline audit of their EAP and pretend to call in across the country from multiple offices to the EAP with a legitimate issue and see how long did it take you to get through. Now imagine an employee who's in the middle of having severe anxiety or depression, having to go through that process and waiting weeks for someone to call them back. You know? And that's the wake up call. But how does it happen overall? I'll tell you what typically happens for me is mental health. And because I've been a chief wellness officer previously at Evolution Hospitality, and people read about the journey in the book, and now just in 2024, I joined Great Wolf Resorts, I get called to give these keynotes. And people take the Busy Brain Test, Amber, which is our proprietary it's a neuropsychology test looking at the negative impact of stress and burnout on your brain health, mental health, and physical health. And people are taking it live in the audience. And then we get data of 1,000 of your employees, 10,000 of your employees, and spit a report back out to HR and be like, this is the percentage that are burnt out. And this was the number one complaint, had to do with sleep or anxiety or depression or fatigue. And man, I got to tell you, from the most loving, non-judgmental Indian auntie place, ain't nobody want a Fitbit when they're already wearing an Apple Watch walking 23,000 steps. And so I think it's that first reality is when people actually see the data. They're sitting there in the middle of a keynote address, just like they are with you. they're seeing that most of the audience raised their hand and said, oh my God, my score is above 30. Like, I'm burned out. And that's kind of where it starts. And then we go in and we do our assessments of what is it that you currently have in your offerings? And what does it mean to change attitude of leaders at the top and in middle management to build a culture of wellness? And that's what I'm doing right now with Great Wolf Lodge. I'm in the middle of the data discovery and strategic planning mode. So you and I are recording this podcast in February 2024. By the time it comes out, I would have gone into strategic planning and execution. So TBD, and I look forward to coming back and telling you what we decided.
I want to know all about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it's now over 10,000 PAC members. Will be at almost 15,000 PAC members by the end of this year with the growth in the company. And I love that you have a hospitality background as well. It's not only our corporate offices in Madison, Wisconsin, and Chicago. That's such a tiny portion of our employees. Most of them are employees at the front lines in the lodges in 20 locations in the U.S.
And that is such a, you have to be a certain person to work in hospitality. You have to have the true spirit of hospitality. And that often leads to attracting talent that are overgivers. They might be a little codependent. I mean, I can go on and on with the psychological profiles, or it could just be that I'm somebody who loves to take care of another person. Because otherwise, why would you work on Christmas? And why would you work these long hours? I mean, it is
same. Hospitality is the same as healthcare, right? It's like you're giving up the societal norm of what are days off, like on the evenings, on the weekends, on federal holidays, because you're good at what you do and you love what you do. And also, you can do that and live and breathe in a culture of wellness. And that's what we define.
Right. And a culture of, well, I think just culture in general. I mean, whether it's medical or hotels or vacation rentals, it's heads and beds is the business model. And that attracts really special people who love to take care of other people, but are they taking care of themselves while they're taking care of other people? What are the trends that you're seeing now in terms of employees that our business owners or business leaders need to be looking out for?
Yeah, I think that's so important. I'm going to give you three key areas. Could we give three key areas?
Sure, absolutely.
I'm going to break them down one by one. And so take them in the order you want. There's three key areas that I think any listener should be thinking about their selves, no matter how big your team is, and especially in the organization. We're going to break down the difference, key area number one, between mental well-being and mental health. Number two, we're going to talk about insulin resistance and metabolic syndrome. And number three, we're going to talk about women's health. Yeah. Yes, from my conscious bias that I am a woman doctor and entered neurology at a time where less than 5% of neurologists or brain doctors in the country were women, but also because we have a crisis in every industry of what the pandemic did, of robbing the pipeline of leaders, you know, in every industry of women, and we need to take care of women's health. So those are the three areas. Where would you like to start?
Oh, well, actually, I was like, yes, mental well-being versus mental health, but I really think my listeners would want to know first about this insulin resistance and metabolic syndrome.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to go there. Okay. This is so fun. And I break it down in more detail in chapters 5 and 6 of the book, if you're a science person. They also are with leadership, but I wanted to tell listeners something they may not know. Life really changed in the pandemic in our brain structure and function. We went from this acute stress place of a work deadline or, you know, a child was sick and kept you up last night, to going back to a state of normal, to just being under chronic stress. So you're chronically stressed out, or what's known at mental capacity. And then another life thing happens, your child getting sick, a work deadline, and that just pushes you over the edge. Well, one key thing that we don't think about is there are insulin receptors in our brain. The Mayo Clinic calls it diabetes type 3. Mm-hmm. And that when we are stressed out, we are also stressing insulin levels in the brain, not just our pancreas, that leads to type 2 diabetes. In the Busy Brain Cure, I talk about on the front end that starts looking at, like, I'm anxious and having difficulty focusing. So we're not productive during the workday. And I'm here to say, I mean, contrary to, I apologize, Amber, to many of your experts, there ain't no need for no more time management techniques or productivity tools.
Tell you what, I agree.
Like, no more. We need to take care of our brains. And yes. So that's what happens at first. And it's this glucose dysregulation. Well, in that long term, by the time we reach our 40s and 50s, because you're in your 40s, I'm 49, I'm turning 50 this year, I'm so excited. That can lead to early stages of memory impairment and dementia. But what's really important for any leader to know, that is taking away your workforce, diverse people included, is heart attacks and stroke with the insulin resistance. I talk to any CHRO or chief wellness officer across all the companies that I'm connected to, even with the mental health crisis, even with different generations in the workforce, the number one thing costing companies money and their insurance and time off is employees having everything related to insulin resistance. So it starts in the brain. It'll start going on in your pancreas as well, and it can lead to type 2 diabetes, high blood pressure. Well, the number one killer for both men and women is heart attacks, and then stroke is number three. And by the way, I'm going to just tell this to you as a woman doctor to another fabulous woman who champions other women succeeding. We're not having those honest conversations that if you're a woman and you go into the emergency room, you're more likely to get labeled as crazy, hormonal, or tired mom, and then miss a serious heart attack or stroke, which, by the way, is happening in the 30s and 40s now.
Dr. Remy, my experience, so I have 7 autoimmune disorders, and I obviously I'm thriving. They don't hold me down. They don't limit me. But what I discovered very early on, and I think this is just a byproduct of having a child so young, is that endometriosis kicked in pretty early. And I can't even tell you how many doctors I saw that said, come back in 90 days. Well, finally, in my 30s, I went, I researched all the doctors in Nashville, and I found someone who went to Harvard University to get her medical degree, or Harvard Medical School. And she taught at Vanderbilt University. So I was like, okay. And she specializes in endometriosis. This lady's taking my uterus out, whether she knows it or not. So I went and I met with her, and they did all the things. And she said, well, you're still so young. And I was like, listen, just got to break it down for you like this. I'm going to give you money and you can take it out, or I will go find somebody who will. That's where I am right now. And so she agreed to do the surgery. I did keep my ovaries. But as soon as I came to, she said, Amber, I cannot believe that you have been living in this much pain for so long. I had, and this is a little graphic, but I had endometrial tissue that adhered my uterus to my bowels and my bladder. So every month, all of that was just constricted together. And that was the pain that I was in every meeting, everything. And I still was a high performer. But what do you think that did to my overall health, my mental health, everything? And so I think sometimes women just get dismissed for these things that our bodies uniquely do. And nobody wants to bother with it. And if it wasn't for me being very body aware and advocating for myself, and I could give countless examples, I wouldn't be as healthy as I am right now.
Same. I mean, thank you for sharing that. And I think that's probably one of the most important segments of today's podcast that people need to hear, is how hard it is as high-performing women. People will read my heartbreaking story, like from chapter 4 all the way through 6. Amber, I was a doc, not only a neurologist treating epilepsy patients, but doing cutting edge research on women's hormones in the brain as it pertained to epilepsy and migraine. I kept reading going, girl, I think something's wrong with my thyroid. I'm a doctor. Remember this? Reading the medical literature? I've not had a regular period my entire life, in teenage years or in adulthood. I went to the doctors, men, mind you, and said, I think something's off with my thyroid. Infertility issues, my period is off, hair chunks like this falling out. And they only did the limited thyroid panel, and they said everything is fine. And it made me feel like I was crazy.
You're
and
within normal range. It's better that you're on the bleeding edge of it, but it's normal.
I like didn't advocate for myself at that point. And then I get sick, and then I find my way to integrative medicine, and people read the story, and I finally find an integrative medicine doctor, a male, and tell him, like, I think something's going on. And he checked all of the full thyroid panel, which is a key part in the book. I discuss it's important in chapter 7. You can download the entire lab list in chapter 16. 1 in 8 women in America that is walking around in the workplace like you and I, thinking, I'm anxious, I'm not cut out for this job, the voice of the inner critic and confidence is at you. It's an underlying thyroid disorder. For most women, the only symptoms you have initially with your thyroid disease is I'm feeling anxious and I can't focus. And then the subtle things like acne or irregular period or hair loss kicks in. But most women only have that. And if there's one thing they can do today by listening to your story and mine is go advocate for yourself.
Like, well, please share your story. I think your story is far more compelling than mine.
No. And so I'm stressed out and working 100, 120 hour work weeks like so many people listening are, you know, this performing in a man's world. And by the way, I loved my job. I've loved my patients. I loved being a professor. I loved being a researcher. And I'd look around going, why am I the only one that seems to be struggling? And that's the number one trick burnout plays in your brain. Right. You think you're the only one and you're all alone. You're not. And then the second thing happens is chronic stress will cause disease. As Amber and I just gave you two great examples, her uterus, my thyroid, and the chronic stress can kill you. And it almost killed me. And I should have known better. I'm a doctor. And so at the age of 33, I end up in life-saving surgery. And I remember recovering in the hospital at University of Washington, Seattle. I mean, I thank God for the cardiothoracic surgeons there. They've saved my life. But I'm laying there going, girl, and nothing I learned in medical school going to help me now. I can't go back to the job. Like, I don't know what to do. And that's what sent me on this global journey to heal what I now call my busy brain and burnout. And you read about the teachers or the process that came along and the research and then the protocol and the 8 weeks of like what it takes to heal that. But the biggest lesson is advocate for your brain and your body. Advocate.
My word is harmony. I choose a word of the year every year, along with all the other things that my bombshells know that I do. I do an episode every year on planning for your next year. And last year, when I moved to Florida, this was after my divorce, after leaving a community, after leaving just a lot of toxic stuff, I said, my word is harmony. And so either it moves me towards harmony, that's great, it can stay. But if I even think it's going to move me away from harmony because I know how important this is, it's got to go. It's a non-starter. Absolutely not. It's got to go. I don't care what the money's attached to it, the relationship attached to it. Maybe Amen. It gets put on ice, but it's going over there because if I'm not living in harmony, then my brain goes to hell in a handbag. And then my body starts, and my intestines.
As a label queen, it don't matter if the handbag is Louis Vuitton or Prada.
Amen, sister.
Hey, sister.
I got my Gucci bag full of my drama, and I don't like it there. Okay, I think that's the best line ever. My Gucci bag full of drama. I love it. Oh, my God. We are so going to be sisters.
Yes.
We are so sisters. Oh, your Jimmy Choo shoes and your TED Talk. I was like, she's my friend.
I mean, you know, no designer label or title was going to save me.
That's right.
And I think that's like a lesson for anybody listening now. You're an entrepreneur and you have this goal of, I want to be a best-selling author. I want to be a keynote speaker on the biggest stages. I want to hit seven figures or multi-seven figures. None of those titles matter unless you take care of your brain and your body and your team.
Yes. And your team. So maybe I know we have so many places to go and we've already gone over, but I feel like, oh gosh, we've got to have five episodes. Let's just start a podcast together, Dr. Romy.
Oh my God. Too much fun. Yes. Yeah. About drama in the handbag. I'm like,
yeah. So we have to take care of ourselves. We have to be body aware. We have to be mindful of those things because then you could end up like Dr. Romy or I. Or you. I just had a girls' weekend with some of the most powerful women in the vacation rental industry. I mean, just dynamo baddies. And we could have all had this conversation together because of how much is expected of us, how far we push it, all of that. And so as you get a little bit older, you start to realize, oh, I don't have to meet all these expectations. I just have to take care of myself. So now that I've gotten there, let's turn it back to the employee side of things. Can you just give, like, I know we talked about well-being, belonging, and operational excellence are the three core areas that really make a business hum, a healthy business hum.
You know?
What are just three things that anyone can implement this month to create a culture of wellness at their workplace?
Yeah, I will say this. again, and you're gonna want to pull your fabulous hair out. So just bear with Auntie here.
Okay, Auntie.
Again, please start with your own brain. Take your busy brain test and go through the 8-week protocol yourself. And this is it. The one tip I give in my leadership lectures is energy is contagious. It is more contagious than a virus.
Yeah.
And I can walk in with all the fake platitudes and be like, I'm so positive today. Fake it till you make it. Look at the titles on my body. And that's not your true energy. And that when you come from a place of depleted energy, negative energy, from a place of pain, from a place of suffering, from a place of depression, from a place of burnout, that energy is transferring to your team. So most leaders don't realize it until they take a busy brain test or I sit down and talk deeper. They are barely holding it together for themselves and their team is feeling chaos. And so that is it. Be mindful of the energy you bring in the room. Do the work. Number two is the most practical thing that I give people when you have a busy brain. So if across your team, people all, you can all take the, we'll put the link in the show notes. It's on my website and in my social media for free, the busy brain test. If your score is above a 30, there is a time management and productivity issue happening where everything coming in your inbox or on your Slack channels feels like a code red emergency to your brain.
Ouch.
And we can't prioritize what needs to be done. And we're looking at that dopamine high. So when you should be going to bed at night or going to rest or decompress or be with loved ones and all the things, you have this false busy brain that's saying, girl, Amber, just knock out those last two emails and you'll be at peace. And you both know, oof, those emails are like roaches.
They are.
You kill two and 17 more just show up to
that's
the party.
Right. So true.
And it never ends. And so we do a technique in our leadership lectures and in my trainings with teams, which is literally coding things into what is truly a code red emergency in your personal and professional life. So in hotels, you know, a code red is a leak in the building, a fire in the building, a guest or employee injury, you know, some type of thing like that. What is a daily task that needs to be, you know, taken care of? That's important. It's a yellow. It needs to be addressed in the next 24 hours. And what's something that's white? It's a to-do list item this week or something you can delegate out or something that needs to be assessed. Is this really important? And it is one of the most empowering exercises when an entire team does this and then comes with an SOP that says, Amber, you and I are on the same team. What's actually a code red? What's going to warrant an after-hours phone call or email? And what's a white task, like reading the night audit reports in hotels?
Yeah.
You know, you don't need to, as a general manager, disturb your sleep and check in at midnight to see what's going on. It's going to be the same exact data at 7 a.m. the next day.
Oh, right.
Except you just robbed you of your peace and your sleep and your energy is going to be off the next day. So that's a simple example. So those are like the two things I would say is please take care of your brain. And two, look at your energy. And then three is do this, you know, code red emergency exercise with your team. Are, I think, the best places to start. It's really putting the fire out on a busy brain for your brain, your body, and your team.
I love that. I love that. And it is so easy, especially in these 24/7 type companies, for everything to feel like it's urgent and important. And it's not. It's just not. There's only so many hours in the day.
When our busy brain scores are above 30, it really becomes hard to delineate unless you have a list of this needs to be addressed right away.
Yeah. Even my inbox, Christina sorts it into urgent, later, and then like read whenever you can, you know? And then if we have a particular project, then that all goes into that project folder. But other than that, it gets deleted. I mean, she's like, you have more emails than any human on the planet. And I was like, girl, you haven't even looked at my direct messages and my social media.
Okay, but wait a minute. You better tell her when Dr. Auntie emails, she's going to start with Gucci Prada. Do not delete that email.
That's
now.
Right. That's you right. she filed my best friend away when she was new and I found it in the another folder and I was like, I'm so sorry that you got filed in the wrong place. I did not look at this and I did not give her that information. So yes, we'll make sure that Auntie Romy gets put in the right folder. So I don't want to end this conversation, but same. I know that I have people getting off of treadmills and dropping kids off at school. And so I will close this, but I definitely want you to come back Before we get into where you can find Dr. Romy and where you can take the assessment and where you can get her book, I want to hear your parting piece of advice for a bombshell, a bold, brave, unwaveringly confident woman in business.
There's going to be a moment in your life that you or someone you love is stuck in a really dark place. It's like you'll read in my book what the auntie said, the lights are on and nobody is home. And if you've lost that place of a whole piece of hope in your life, one, I hope you know Amber and I are here for you as your hope holders.
Yes.
But two, hear these words from me that I wish someone had told me when I was in the darkness. My sister, your brain is not broken. Your mind is not a mess, and hope did not depart your soul.
Mm.
We're here. Just take our hand and let's brain shift together.
Oh. Now you've got me all teared up, Dr. Romy. I think I might have needed to hear that a little bit right this week in particular. So thank you. And you're so right. The bombshell community, I say this all the time, is not a Facebook group. It's not, we don't have time for that. We don't need one more thing to check or to be distracted by. The bombshell community is an energy where when we see a fellow bombshell in need, we meet that need with a resource or with just support or just holding space at the very least to say like, yeah, this is okay that you feel that way and it's going to be better. So sharing this episode with somebody is a way that you can support another bombshell. And Dr. Romy said it, we're holding space for you. We're holding your hand through this. This is in my heart. This is why I do the podcast, and I know this is why she does her work. So take that. Now, I know that you are all going to be obsessed with her and you're going to cyber stalk her. So let me give you the directions to do that. You can learn more about Dr. Romy at drromy.com and join the Brain Shift movement, of which I will be, by following her at Dr. Romy. So it's DrRomie on all the social media. So Instagram, Twitter, X, still twitter.com, so Facebook and LinkedIn. And you can get the book and also take the assessment at drromy.com. It'll take you to all the different distributors, including Amazon and whatnot. Did I miss anything?
No, that's it.
Okay.
And if you need us, tag Amber and I on social media with the word brain shift, and we'll be here to ask you what your hope is and hold that space for you. We got and you, sisters.
Love that. Yes, we are teaming up for you. This was a blessing today, and I'm so grateful to share you with all of these bold, brave, unwaveringly confident women who sometimes fall down, but we get back up together. Bombshell, this is an episode that you have to share. Share it on social media. This isn't about me. This isn't even about Dr. Romy. This is about all the women who need to hear this, that we're not crazy. We're not hormonal. There is legitimate science happening in our brains, and there is a path forward, and Dr. Romy has that to offer. So please buy her book. Take the assessment. Let's go on this journey together. Let's make 2024 the best year of overall wellness and well-being and joy and happiness that it can possibly be. Share this episode. Leave a rating and review, because that's how we trick the algorithm gods into showing it to more women. And I will see you on the next episode.
Thanks for listening to the Bombshell Business Podcast. Visit amberhurdle.com for more resources like show notes, and check out thebombshellbusinesswoman.com to grab my book and download the free bonuses.